I think these last several weeks, the hymns have been chosen more easily than ever before here, because the words of these hymns are so appropriate for the days in which we are living. Let us pray. Lord, send thy light and thy truth on us. Bless us with insight and with a desire to be your disciples as you have called us. Amen. I should have titled this sermon differently, I think. Gathering fishing folk of every kind as well as fish of every kind. Outside the local fire depot department in a town in Pennsylvania, there is a sign for a volunteer fire folk. And the sign reads, members wanted, very cool hats, sweet rides, odd hours, and no pay. And while the sign concedes the volunteer nature of the job and its unpredictability, it also tries humorously to play up the cool aspects of being a firefighter. Who wouldn't love the idea of riding in a cool fire truck? Years ago, Flint Ranney had refurbished an old fire truck, and every holiday, it seems, he would ride it up Main Street, and the children just loved the fire truck. And I think a few adults as well, harken back to earlier days. Who wouldn't want to wear that awesome gear that they wear? But it's more than that. Actual members of the local fire stations typically love their work and are deeply connected to it. For many, being a firefighter not only gives them a sense of purpose, but allows them to exhibit goodwill toward others. And it makes them feel like they're making a difference in their community. Firefighters also tend to be a very tight communal group. They support each other and uplift each other. And the station provides a place for them to gather and communicate and build lasting relationships that last for years and years. Of course, not to forget that the ad, as most ads will go, did not really emphasize the dangerous aspects of being a firefighter, actually fighting fires. But for most firefighters, the benefits far outweigh the risks. A similar sign could have been posted in Jesus' time as he was drafting fisher folk. Perhaps the ad might have gone something like this. Fresh salt air. Strenuous labor. Long hours. Tedious work. Minimal results. While the life of a fisherman might have included beautiful sunrises and sunsets, some great camaraderie, maybe even a fish or two for dinner. But it also was an extremely tough job, and it required infinite patience, a strong body, a strong mind, and maximum endurance. The kind of net fishing that Jesus' disciples practiced required a particularly strong muscular physique. The intensity of hauling nets in and out of the water, often filled with heavy fish of all sizes and shapes, as well as other sea creatures, was a brutal way to make a living. Not only that, but the linen nets were always tearing. So the typical scenario was to mend those nets during the day after they had come in with a catch of fish. Even those who cast their nets in the evening at sunset would in the morning turn immediately after they had come in from their morning fishing to the tedious work of mending nets. We do know that the Zebedee family fishing industry did quite well, because when James and John left to follow Jesus, they left their father in the boat, we are told, with hired men. Those who could afford to hire a crew ran one of the wealthier and more obviously dedicated and successful fishing businesses, exemplified by persistence and loyalty and hard work. They too would have had to work together for the good of the team in order to fish and mend and sort and clean and sell their daily catch. It takes a team to run a profitable fishing business in a newly competitive regional market that they were experiencing near the Sea of Galilee. Many of you, most of you, remember Bill Blount, who was the last Nantucket fisherman who has moved off island. But Bill and I had talked several times, and his emphasis on the greatest challenge that he faced was not getting the nets out, bringing the nets in, and catching the fish. It was finding the team that would go with him. The fishing industry at Jesus's time was gaining popularity, and the Sea of Galilee was located in the midst of several trade routes, especially in the areas around Capernaum. And the local town of Magdala was a fish processing town. In fact, the Greek word for Magdala, Tarake, in Greek means where fish are salted. The Sea of Galilee was filled with tilapia, also known as musk, and carp, and sardines. The best way to catch a multitude of fish was to use what is called a seine net. We call it a dragnet. And like the old detective show, Dragnet, by that same name, the dragnet was used to sweep the floor of the sea with these large nets that would be thrown from a boat or from the shore. And once the net was filled with fish, it would be hauled manually to shore by a group of fishermen. Unlike the circular cast net, which was thrown from the shore of a boat, the seine or dragnet was much larger and required much more manpower to operate. Those casting the seine net had to literally wade into the sea and drag the net into the shore. Backbreaking work. And sometimes it would take hours to retrieve those nets. After returning to shore, the fishermen would have to sort through the entire catch, removing foreign creatures, unwanted crustaceans, and unhealthy fish, and casting them aside and placing the good fish into baskets to be scaled and cleaned and sold. In the early morning, the nets would be mended and the process would begin again the next day, day after day. So why the image of fishermen? Why does Jesus specifically move from the area around Nazareth and call many of his disciples from the fishing industry along the harbors, trade centers, and coast of the Sea of Galilee? A quote from the prophet Jeremiah might give us a clue. Behold, I am sending forth many fishers, and they shall catch them. The them in this scripture are the lost tribes of Israel, those dispersed and lost during the Assyrian, Babylonian, and Persian captivities, those restored to the lands in the time of Pompey during the expansion of Hellenism, those whose faith had become secularized and compromised or watered down by time, living in foreign cultures, those to whom God had promised hope and restoration. However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but it will be said instead, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up from all the lands to the north and south, and out of the countries where he had banished them. For I will restore them to the land I gave their ancestors, says the Lord. But now I will send for many fishermen, and they will catch them. It has a poetic ring to it, doesn't it? We know that Jesus' mission included seeking the lost sheep of Israel. He tells his disciples this many times. And by charting his ministry geographically, we can see that he deliberately enters into the many, many of the northern and central areas that would have been considered foreign or secular. Jesus' mission is to bring God's people home, back to God, back to truth, back to faith. To do this, he cannot simply locate them one by one, but in order to discern their hearts, he needs to address entire regions, vast areas with mixed both foreigners and those of Jewish heritage. Among the masses, he can find those who respond to him, those whose hearts remember who they are, remember that he healed and that he tested them. When Jesus' disciples, teaches his disciples how to fish for people, he is teaching them the art of the catch, the art of discernment, and the art of healing broken people. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be, we are told, at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. The Matthew of Gospel quotes. Interestingly, the phrase fish for people actually comes from Herodotus, a Greek historian from 430 BC, who described how the Persian armies swept through the Greek islands by linking hands and marching in a line through the entire land. As a boy, Jesus no doubt would have studied the works of this historian. As in the time of Jesus' childhood and young adulthood, goodwill between Jewish and Greek communities was at its height. The library in Alexandria, in fact, would have held all the ancient and current Jewish and Greek texts of history, science, philosophy, and religion. Well, whether Jesus got the phrase fishes of people, of folk, from Herodotus can't be known. But Jesus does seem to be describing a kind of sweep of the entire land in order to find the lost sheep of Israel, to discern their hearts and to bring them back to faith. Prepare them, heal them, clean them for discipleship so that they too can help feed the world in mission. That casting net, that same net, is an image that suggests a kind of mass ministry to the world in hopes of discerning the faithful from the others. And Jesus' ministry reflects just that. But this would be no ordinary ministry. It would take a team of hardworking, patient, faithful, loyal, and not easily discouraged disciples. Men and women who are willing to go out each and every day consistently and vigorously to share the gospel, to heal the sick, to mend the brokenhearted and discouraged, and cleanse those who have gone astray. The early church was made up of several kinds, many kinds of disciples. But many of Jesus' most ardent and motivated apostles came from an industry of fishing. And that is why the metaphor is so strong, not only in the Bible, but one that we can grab and understand very easily. It's a tough job, a hard job, long hours, and often many failures. It takes endurance and a lot of faith. But it's also the best job in the world because disciples make a difference. Disciples are world changers. I want to emphasize that because I think we sometimes think too narrowly about what our job is as Christian people. We are world changers. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. Healers of minds and body and heart. Giving people hope. Building community of God's faithful everywhere. In each and every church, including ours, God is calling us to be apostles. And the question implied in every time we think of being called to discipleship is, who among us has the heart of fishing folk? Who among us has the resilience and the drive and the motivation to fulfill God's mission of seeking the lost and downhearted and healing them In Jesus' name. Jesus is always forming a team. And we are always being invited to join. Thanks be to God.